Welcome to the Form of Fitness podcast, where you will learn the most that there is to learn about fitness. Through mechanism, about dieting, motion itself, and many more, you will follow me and my co-host Duncan as we talk about these things as they are related to our personal lives, as well as they are related to the health industry and how they affect us and people around us every day. We thank you for listening. What's going on, guys? Welcome back to the Form of Fitness podcast. Today we're going to be talking about something that's a little bit more opinion-based. We're going to be talking about steroid use and whether or not you're natty or not. So where do you want to start on this one?
Yeah, so there's a couple different starting places we could like have. One thing is like, you know, something that I hear a lot of, which is, you know, why do we even disallow steroids in sports? And then there's also questions of like, am I natty? What is natty? You know, because I've met people whose opinions of natural have gone from like, if you're eating anything other than whole foods, you're not natty, you know, all the way to like, as long as it's not a needle, you're not natty, you know, and these two opinions can be wildly ranged. Because especially in today's world, like the whole, unless you're eating whole foods, you're not natty. Like that barrier to entry is so high. And even then, I think if your logic is that if you're not eating whole foods, you're not natty because there's processes in there and chemicals in there that shouldn't be in your food. At that point, if you're not filtering all your water using like reverse osmosis or well water, like you're not natty because there's fluoride in our water. You know, the magnesium that we put in.
Microplastics.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. So, like, not even, like, there's the microplastics, which are negative, but even, like, the beneficial stuff, like magnesium and calcium that we'll put in the water to, like, soften it up and stuff. Like, it also is a nutrient for your body, and you're getting it from a processed source, like, big air quotes there. So usually I think that it's important to kind of find, like, your middle ground, probably somewhere around there of, like, what is natty? Because, you know, you don't want to feel so restricted, you know, by what you can and can't do to still retain the natty, right? Because for a lot of people, natural is pride. You know, natural is I got this way without this super high outside help.
Yeah.
Because while, yes, you still have to put in hard work if you go on steroids to achieve, like, certain physiques, doing it without steroids for a lot of people is a lot more prideful in a way, just because you are overcoming adversity, right? And I think that for a lot of people in sports or in narratives, and even in the hero's journey, right, it's all about dealing with the adversity that comes with it. And also, like, for a lot of natural people, I think that there's something to also be said about them learning how to come to terms with limiting factors that are outside of their control, like their genetics.
Yeah. So, and I guess we'll talk about, like, my opinion a little bit. I fall right into where most people that just go to the gym and know a little bit about most compounds fall, which is, you know, basic supplements like, you know, creatine or BCAAs or stuff like this do not fall into that category of something that is so, like, purposefully assisting you that it makes you fall out of being natty. Or even, like, stuff like ashwagandha, I wouldn't even consider that, despite the fact that it assists you in specifically, you know, your testosterone. Like, I don't think that that would count as taking, you know, taking steroids or becoming not natty. And I mean, if you're in the, if only it's injected by a needle category, like most steroids are pills. Like, like I know that a bunch of them you can, like, order off Amazon Pharmacy, and they're, I mean, they're for older guys that really need them, but, you know, younger guys will use them to juice up and get really big. From my perspective on what that line means is, like, once I decide, if I decided to be not natty, that would be from a perspective of like me wanting to be like, I don't know, like actually physically huge, like mm-hmm. beyond what I should look like. But also for me, it's a work ethic thing. There's a lot of like, it's way easier once you're on steroids.
Yeah.
It really is. I mean, there's a lot of extra things you have to deal with that you normally don't consider. Like if you have a bad cycle, you know, night sweats or just being angry all the time.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's about the work involved and the mindset that you develop from going through just like a way too long working on something,
mm-hmm.
which is, I think, part of that. It's also, you know, there's a little bit of like longevity in terms mm-hmm. of like how long some of these things have been studied on people our age specifically. Mm-hmm. So that's why I stay away from them in that category, as well as like for some people, if you do it right and you gain like a lot of muscle really quickly and you gain a lot of strength really quickly, a lot of times you're not fully aware of like how big you are.
Yeah.
You know, you go through like being like a little kid again, that just like, let's say the difference between like you in fourth grade and you in like seventh grade, whereas like, you have no clue how strong you actually are.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something that, I mean, most guys are familiar with. You know, you accidentally slam a door too hard.
Yeah.
I mean, done it plenty of times.
Yeah, like,
oh, wow.
Yeah.
Shit.
You just finished like pool day and then all of a sudden you got to pull a door and you're like, holy shit, didn't mean to slam that.
And now people think you're angry at them or
something. Yeah. Yeah.
So,
Yeah. And the way I like to think about, especially supplements, is now I'm a big nerd.
Yeah.
Okay, and this actually happens a lot in the Pokemon community, where like a lot of people who do basically what they call Nuzlocke, right? It's a super hard like grind version of Pokemon where like mm-hmm. if the Pokemon dies, it's over. And so usually because of the way that they structure the rules, you can either level the Pokemon manually or you can hack in a bunch of rare candies to use on your Pokemon, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, the thing is you still had to find the Pokemon. You still had to, you know, kind of have the skill to use the Pokemon. But the rare candy thing was just to kind of deal with this pedantic thing that didn't really matter that much, right? And that's kind of how supplements work, okay? Like creatine is a perfect example of this. Creatine's naturally found. Spinach, I think, is one of the highest places that it's naturally found.
I think it's a certain like, fish. Like mostly found in other than that.
Yeah, in meat, I think it's found, but meat's also incredibly filling. But like... Sure. Spinach, I think, is one of the locations like that's naturally found a lot in. But you'd have to eat like a pound of spinach to get 5 grams of creatine in your diet. And I don't know if anyone's seen a pound of spinach. It's a lot of spinach.
It's like what, like 40, like, 50 bucks at the store? Like you've got to buy like 9 containers of baby spinach for a pound.
Like it's cost prohibitive. And it's like literally... space prohibitive in your stomach and in your fridge.
It's not healthy for you to eat that much spinach either. Like let's not sit here and act like eating that much leafy greens mm-hmm. is good for you.
Yeah. And like of course you can find creatine in other spots, like, you know, your meats and everything else. But it's just a good example of like there's certain things that you can eat to get these vitamins, minerals, compounds that we use to supplement. It just is really hard to do so.
Yep.
What vitamin D is another great example of this. Like our vitamin D production is based on the idea that we are outside from sunup to sundown.
Yep.
We haven't evolved past that.
No.
You know? So most people are deficient in vitamin D. Yep. And it's not feasible for the average person especially to be like, okay, I'm going to go work outside for all hours of the day, even though – you know, I'm an engineer and I have to be in office for, yep. you know, 8 hours a day.
And like, most people, like, you're like, well, how am I going to get my laptop out there? How am I going to charge it? Like,
yeah.
You can't even consider how you'd be outside long enough to get that much sunlight.
Yeah.
You know?
And so, like, there's kind of those practicality arguments, I think, that kind of go into, like, is this okay? Is this not okay? Also, usually, like, as far as I'm aware, supplements don't really help you beat, like, other factors. They can help you come up to baseline, right, and baseline health. But when it comes down to it, I'd say no more than 5% of performance is affected by, like, supplementation. And even past that, your ability to do work is going to be impacted by so many other things. that really, unless you're at the top of your game already, you being able to attribute your success to supplementation is going to be incredibly low.
Yeah, like BCAAs, I mean, they're not as popular now as they were. Mm-hmm. Like creatine's beyond more popular now, and they don't do the same thing. But BCAAs are branch chain amino acids.
Yeah.
And I mean, we've talked about them a little bit before, but it's one of those things where it's like, it's not going to replace you eating actual protein.
Mm-hmm.
Like you're not going to, like, yeah, you'll be, it's supplementation. It means what it says. It's supposed to assist you in just being able to go that extra amount without like stepping outside of what is, like, you're not changing yourself physiologically mm-hmm. to do that. You're not modifying your hormones to do this, which is one of the biggest things about steroids, is that modification of hormones to change the way that your body is outputting things, you know, into itself to then, you know, grow faster.
Yeah, and a lot of the time also supplements are not meant to, you know, take over certain processes in your body or your diet. What they're supposed to do is they're supposed to almost provide this like even slate, so that if, let's say, like you forget to eat a meal or you forget to eat veggies, you know, or a specific type of veggie that has high some type of vitamin or mineral, like the supplement is just supposed to bring that up to baseline again, mm-hmm. so that you don't have to be super anal retentive in every single thing that you eat.
Yeah.
Right. And that's easier. Or it's easier for someone like me who has to eat like about 4,000 calories just to not lose weight, to get all the vitamins and minerals that I supposedly need, like based off of what doctors say, as opposed to someone who, you know, maybe is trying to lose weight and who's already a smaller individual. And so they're eating like 2,500 calories a day. For them, probably like some like a multivitamin and a couple other things are very necessary for them to be able to hit the different markers that mm-hmm. they need just to have like a well-functioning system.
Yeah. I know, like for me, what I did when I was losing a lot of weight was 2 years ago. I took a multivitamin every morning
mm-hmm.
On top of like some other supplements every once in a while, because I mean, I was eating anywhere between 1,500 and like 2,100 calories a day, which as a guy my size means that like I'm missing a lot of nutrients in there. So my supplement, luckily enough, had, you know, basically most of the nutrients I needed in their full, you know, full amounts for a given mm-hmm. day's amount. And I mean, realistically, you know, you go deficient a little bit, you know, every once in a while. And that's what I was doing, was being deficient in some nutrients. Just because, I mean, most times what I was eating was I'd stick to mostly protein
mm-hmm.
and keep my total calories down, 1,500, again, 2,100, you know, either skipping breakfast, eating two meals a day, and losing weight that way. And so I was supplementing. I mean, I was taking creatine. I was just taking a multivitamin. And that kind of covered my basis on, like, eating a bunch of leafy greens, which I wasn't doing like most people do when they lose weight, is eating a bunch of salad. I can't, like, when I lose weight, I've got to eat less in terms of actual total portion, or my stomach will be like, feel like it's full but vacant mm-hmm. all the time when I'm not eating.
Yeah.
And that's horrible for me.
Yeah. And then, like, to me, kind of like what determines someone's non-natty status is more revolving around kind of affecting the amount of potential available to you. So, like, if you think about it as in, like, you know, someone has 5% left of their potential and they can unlock it completely by proper diet and eating and exercise, and then they just go ahead and throw some steroids on there, and all of a sudden that their potential is just completely unleashed and they have an extra 20% that they never thought that, you know, was open to them. Because we know that a lot of steroids can increase the amount of muscle mass that a human being can have on their body past what is natural and what would be viable for them to have if they weren't steroid. Yeah. And obviously a lot of this stuff actually does impact health. A lot of steroids, when men use them, it affects their fertility, because a lot of it, you know, either replaces the function of your gonads or accelerates the function of your gonads so much that it tires them out really quick. A lot of people who pin up with like training gear have fertility problems later in life. And all of these things are important to like understand and realize, because I think that primarily is one of the biggest reasons why we don't allow them as a culture in sports. Mm-hmm. It's more of a, no one should have a barrier to entry of like having to make choices that irreparably damage, you know, the rest of their life.
Yeah.
If, on like a hope or a prayer of being in the NBA for 10 years.
Yeah. And some people, like the big consideration, and most of the people arguing pro steroids in sports mm-hmm. tend to be people that do not consider the negative effects of it. It's like, well, if you allow them, everyone's going to take them. Mm-hmm. Everyone has to take them to compete, yeah. right? Because steroids do make you stronger. They make yeah. you more, like, they don't necessarily make you exactly more athletic, but if you train through steroids to become more athletic, you're going to do it faster. You're going to be much stronger. And
your
more
ability
capable.
To recover.
Yeah. And, you know, you're just upping your ability to do that stuff with the other negative effects in there. It's like, some people are genuinely just not willing to go through that mm-hmm. to play those sports. And a lot of times you're going to be starved of people with actual genuine talent mm-hmm. for people that have decided, all right, I'm taking steroids. Because then it's still going to come out to be a genetics game.
Yeah.
Right? It's like you've added everyone up again.
Yeah.
And some people, you know, it might even make the disparity even bigger between people that have just killer genetics mm-hmm. that are specifically built for a certain sport and the bottom people yeah. in, you know, those top levels that just barely scraped in, you know, amongst their peers that are in lower leagues.
Yeah, and the genetics argument, I think, is a very, like, real argument to bring up, because I feel like that's one of the biggest things that I hear people say when they're like, well, why don't we just allow people to juice up when they do sports, you know? Because, like, if you look at Usain Bolt, right, the reason why he was the fastest runner, a lot of people have kind of looked at, a lot of biologists have looked at, is because he was so proportionally made for running. Mm-hmm. You know, he had a certain degree tilt that he just naturally went into. His legs were a certain length. His muscle fibers were made in a certain way that made it basically impossible for anyone to beat him unless something happens with like another person just having a genetically stacked potential.
Yeah.
Right. And then it's kind of like this dual probability thing of like, you have to find someone with a genetically stacked potential that also has the drive to do all the things that Usain Bolt has yes. the drive to do. And I think like Bolt is still pretty much up there you know, his records are still very much there. And I don't think they've been beaten.
It's hard to beat him. I mean, I've watched videos about people explaining the mathematics in regards to his capability and how and what it would actually take for a human body to be able to beat it within the reasonable expectations of how big humans can get and how, you know, like basically one thing is like the average range of heights for humans and how that relates to your torso length versus your leg length. And we're just talking about things that are purely based on genetics here. It's like, yeah, taller people do have a proclivity, but there's a certain height at which point you reach where most likely they're not eating enough or mm-hmm. cannot eat enough food to actually build the muscle and connective tissue for yeah. that to be a viable thing. Because otherwise, hypothetically, it would just be the tallest is good at it. But a lot of people that are in the hyper tall category are deficient in way more things than
yeah.
you know other people.
Okay, so I just looked it up. Apparently, Usain Bolt was just beaten in 2023 by Noah Lyles, who ran like a 19-something 200-meter dash. But still, like, if you think about when Usain Bolt was alive versus when Noah Lyles was alive, like, it's a pretty big jump in time.
Yeah.
And so while not everyone, you know, has the genetic propensity to do something, like, steroids doesn't fix that issue. It just makes that issue almost more pronounced, because if you think that steroids is a baseline multiplier, you know, if you take someone who's genetically adept and so you give them a score of like 105 and then you take someone who's not genetically adept at 100 and then you give both of them a like times two multiplier, all of a sudden you have a 210 versus a 200, right? Yeah. You actually increase the potential or increase the score of the person with the higher genetic capability just because,
yeah.
you know, the steroids is a base multiplier.
Yeah, and it's not like it works exactly specifically like that.
Yeah.
But it's pretty close, and that's where we get into that. Yeah, there may be a 5% difference between them based on genetics, whereas mm-hmm. there's 100 that's based on the fact that they are very, very skilled and talented individuals in the sport. And then there's a 5 difference in just genetic athletic capability. Mm-hmm. And now you've made that gap larger, distant, you know, like it's still 5%.
Yeah.
But that 5% is now 10 as opposed to, you know, as opposed to 5 points.
Yep. And so then, you know, it's back to kind of like supplementation where a lot of this stuff just doesn't have that same negative drawback of when you stop. And so if it doesn't have that negative drawback of when you stop, you're not, you know, if you're a high school athlete, there's not nearly as much negative consequences of you just not taking the supplements anymore. Yeah. After really trying hard to get into like college sports or whatever else.
Yeah. And I mean, like, let's talk about some of like the positive times where people take steroids. I think we talked about, what is it? Testosterone replacement.
Yeah. TRT.
This is something that is very, very common and becoming more popular. I mean, every year amongst men, you know, ages, even like in their mid 40s and up, sometimes even in their late 30s, really, depending on how early you need it. But That is something where it's like, you know, you're probably at the end of where you feel the need to be fertile, which is realistically a lot of what it is. And I know that there's a bunch of people that are like, you know, steroids don't actually affect your fertility, blah, blah, blah. It does. It does. And, you know, a lot of times you're also going to hurt yourself doing stuff, you know, lifting heavier weights and other things like that. Also because, you know, it does affect you mentally. But I think that that's a case where they're just trying to reach back up to a baseline. You know, you're trying to climb back up to the norm that was there when you were younger, as opposed to trying to, you know,
to break a limit,
to break a human capability limit where you're at, you know, the max testosterone that you can have as a, you know, prime age male with, you know, really, really like high T levels. And now you're just blowing it out of the water and you put on, you know, 30, 40, 50 plus pounds of just raw muscle mass in 1 year. And you've got a lot of money down the toilet.
And there's a lot of different reasons to kind of hop on steroids or do something else, right? Conor McGregor is a great example of this. Like, okay, technically, there's no, let's hear what's, allegedly, right? He has probably been doing steroids. Okay. USADA, he hopped off USADA. It was USADA at the time. He hopped out of that testing pool for, I think he had like a 1 or 2 year exemption, right? Most likely this was in order to do steroids, right? Yeah. And the reason for it was because he broke his leg. He stepped back and he completely, like his leg got destroyed. I want to say it was like his shin or something down there. But yeah, like there are reasons to hop on steroids to try and help speed up recovery in order to ensure a more complete recovery. Like these things are important to do. And not only if you're an athlete, almost like as a quality of life thing, right? Talk to your doctor, talk to whoever, especially if you are dealing with like a major injury of like, what are our options here? And sometimes those options are steroids. I know, like, I've been on steroids before for allergy-related stuff. Of course, this isn't the type of steroid that's going to, like, get me yoked. All right. Usually it's a steroid that gets me a little chubby because it, like, does increase my desire to eat. But, I mean, it's there to help my immune system kind of chill out and stop attacking me because of all the, like, pollen and everything in there. But, like, yeah, like, steroids do have a place in our society. But I think it's very important to kind of consider why you're taking them. And if the reason why you're taking them are looks or, you know, to hit some, like, kind of arbitrary weight goal, like, maybe think about that.
Maybe think about the long-term consequences a little bit more as opposed to, well, I don't feel good about my body right now, and I really wish I was, you know, during this certain weight. That's definitely important, and you should definitely think about this like any other drug. I mean, it's you can abuse it. It's like it does have its place. There's a reason it was developed in the first place, and it's not just because, oh, let's see what we can do with this. It's, you know, here's the use case for it. Here's what we know it can do. You know, and so it gets used by the medical industry. And then, again, over prescribed, and then also prescribed to people that really shouldn't be using it.
Yep.
So, yeah.
You have anything else you want to add on that?
All right, guys. Don't do steroids. If you do steroids, do them right. Go ask your doctor, and we'll see you next time.
See ya.
Hi guys, this is Nathan. I just wanted to thank you for listening to this episode of Former Fitness Podcast. If you like this and are looking for more content like it, there are plenty more podcasts from our studio, Uptown Audio, at the University of North Carolina at Charlotte that you can go and listen to. Those will be linked in our link tree. That'll be attached in the description of this podcast wherever you're receiving it. Thank you guys so much for listening. It does truly mean a lot to us, and we hope you all have a great day.